May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1041. Oh, where is now that glowing love that marked our union with the Lord? Our hearts were fixed on things above, nor could the world one joy afford. 1041.
just read from the Word of God in the, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 54. Seeing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the destitute than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, thy God, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when there was refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou great God Jehovah, the living God, the God that rules on high and thunders when he please. O Lord, as we would come with reverence, we would be in godly fear, do grant it, Lord. And as we think of how thy word speaks of thy holy voice, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth, the Lord is upon many waters. O Lord, we beg now, we may come in reverence before thee. Oh, we would come and feel we have to come with our solemn confessions. O Lord, do have mercy on us. As we venture to approach thee, feeling a burden of sin and guilt, oh, we beg, look in mercy upon us, Lord. And oh, we plead the precious name of Jesus Christ, thy dear, well-beloved Son. O God, our holy heavenly Father, we venture to thee, pleading that name that thou dost love to hear thy children plead. We do not know any other way of approach unto thee, our God. We would come in none other way, none other name, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, we beg for Jesus' sake. Lord, thou knowest our guilt, our burden of guilt we feel. Lord, we confess our sins. We plead in that way, as is wonderfully stated by John the Apostle, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us, each one of us, Lord, to come with such humble, true confession, Lord, now. Oh, we come grieving, we come mourning over our sins and after thee, Lord. Oh, we beg, do hear us now. Oh, thou knowest those things we have had on our mind and spirit to speak of this afternoon. Oh, that thou dost look down from the height of thy sanctuary, Lord, and to behold thy people on earth, and thou dost come down to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Oh, to set free the captives. Lord, we pray it may be so, proves wonderfully so here tonight. Do come and attend to thy people's cases, Lord. Hear their cries, hear their prayers, hear their groanings, Lord. Thou knowest this afternoon how we had the witness in the hymns, Lord, the hymn, the closing hymn, that our friend had chosen them all before the service. Oh, the groaning was in the hymn. The groanings that cannot be uttered, but Lord, thou dost hear them. Thou dost hear thy people's cries. Oh, as we've heard our friend in prayer before the service and felt such union with him. Oh, Lord, may it be so throughout this whole congregation, if it could please thee. May there be those that come in such a way, pleading, begging for mercy for Jesus' sake. And oh Lord, as thou dost hear the groans of thy elect, Lord, we humbly hope we have the witness. Oh, may us each personally seek to know and have the assurance that we are a true witness of our election of God. Oh, we know it is by thy favour in thy people to know their calling. Oh, just grant them that exercise to seek to make their calling and election sure. And so much the more, as there it is worn and speak, ye see the day approaching. Oh, we know we're going on, Lord, fast hastening on toward the end of our lives. May even the dear young people here tonight be aware of this, how they are fast hastening on toward the end of their lives. Although the natural order of things, they hope to have many years yet. But Lord, who can tell? Who? Oh, none of us know the time of our being called out of this life into eternity. Oh, prepare us each, Lord, to stand before thy face. May it be given of the Holy Spirit's exercise, Lord, in each soul here, that they each may seek to be prepared to stand before thy face. Oh, we would lovingly warn, Lord, as we have been witness of thy suddenly taking. Oh, Lord, as thou hast the perfect right to, Lord, how close we have been as a witness to thee taking one suddenly. And Lord, oh, thou knowest we think of these things, of so-called accidents that come, so suddenly come. But Lord, it's the messenger death. It's that bringing to the end of natural life and here below, the entering into eternity. Make eternity a tremendous sound to each soul here, Lord. Oh, we beg thee, make it so to each one, that we might then us see and know and witness souls giving diligence to make their calling and election sure. Oh, Lord, do work, we pray, thy powerful work. Oh, Lord, we believe where thy powerful work is begun, thou wilt carry on and perfectly perform the work thou hast begun, and each will say, be brought to acknowledge it in me, a sinful worm. Oh, Lord, we look for this in thy going on to be gracious in precious souls, working in them to will and to do of thy good pleasure, dear Lord. So, Lord, do good here tonight, we beg. Do good in thy good pleasure in this part of thy Zion. O Lord, come down into thy garden here with that wonderful purpose to eat thy present fruits. May the fruit appear, Lord. May there be fruit on the branch of precious souls. Lord, may precious souls be humbled, favoured, blessed, to know they are the branches, and Lord, thou art the root, thou the tree of life. We, the young, tender branches, make us tender, make us humble. Give us to be favoured with contrite hearts. Oh, is mine a contrite heart or no? Lord, may we be questioning it, considering it. Make us humble, tender-hearted. Oh, may we have in practice and profession, Lord, tender hearts and consciences. We may love one another. We may never despise one another. We may love one another. We may prefer one another to another. We may, Lord, thus feel that reality of favour, esteeming each other better than ourselves to be. Oh, Lord, we do want to be like thee. Give us of thy Spirit. Oh, may we covet, Lord, to be Christ-like. Oh, we will ever have to acknowledge we come so short of thy example. But, Lord, we desire to follow thy example. Oh, Lord, do so deal with us. Break our hearts, break our schemes of earthly joy, that we may seek our all in thee. If any of the friends are especially feeling it, Lord, the deep, profound reality of having an aching void the world can never fill, may young souls here whom thou art working in be wonderfully blessed as they feel the reality of this. Now I feel an aching void the world can never fill. What a wonderful proof it is of thy working in them, Lord, if they are brought to feel like that. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the things which are those things of interest, and wholesomely so, in the good things of this life. But, Lord, in thy purposes, thou must make even these to drop their hold. Oh, that we may seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, Lord, so do so work wonderfully in precious souls according to thy will. And, oh, bring forth that praise, honour and glory to thee. Oh, Lord, that we might come into the church of God with burnt offerings and sacrifices. The sacrifice of God is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Lord, bring us thus to come before thee, self-renouncing, grace admiring, made unto salvation wise. So bless the friends to be in this favour of thy grace, thy gracious favour to us, and we may manifest grace, the grace of God, the grace of life, that we have been brought to know, the amazing grace of God, amazing grace, how sweet a sound, that saved a wretch like me. Oh, once I was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, Lord, bring us into the amazement of it, the wonder of it, fall before thee, and Lord, thy love know, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. So bless the friends, Lord. Feed them, Lord, strengthen them. Build them up. And Lord, we pray for the church here, Lord, it may increase, with members blessed with filial fear, enjoying gospel peace. Oh, Lord, oh, do come into thy garden here and eat thy pleasant fruits. Lord, how we would testify, Lord, more and more we desire to and desire others to. I am my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Oh, what profound, wonderful favour this is to witness. He feedeth among the lilies, the Son of God, the beloved of the Church of God, the Lord himself, the bridegroom of his chosen bride, who loves her to the end. Oh, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Give the assurance of it, Lord. Bring sinners out into that wealthy place of assurance of faith. Lord, bless souls. So bless them. Lord, there is said, surely blessing I will bless thee. And oh, the greatness of it. The multiplying of pardon. Oh, Lord, do it here, we beg. Do it here, even tonight. We beg thee, Lord, that burdened souls may be set free. They may lose their load. They may know the liberty of the gospel. Lord, do work for this, I beg thee, Lord. Oh, we pray for friends who are not able to be with us. Thou knowest those that are away. We remember them, Lord, who favour them where they are, and bless them, Lord, and where that rest and change is sought, do bless it to the good of body, mind and soul. Lord, do favour thy people as they may gather. We think of one of thy dear servants who we met on Friday evening, gone up into Scotland, Lord, and his dear one, both of them we love. In thy name, Lord, the dear pastor of Tenterden, one personally will ever acknowledge the love of the Tenterden friends to us. We felt so much in that time, deep time of our sorrow, and now we feel it still. Bless our friend and his dear one with good rest and change. Be with them on their longer their journey tomorrow, quite a distance again. Be with them, watch over them. And all that we think of are travelling. And Lord, we know in these days, even thy people's travel is vast distances. Lord, how we think of this and the exercise to pray for them when they travel vast distances through modern means. Lord, in these things of news of great tragedies, Lord, ever keep thy people safe. We believe thou will. And oh Lord, oh thy people are safe and secure from all harms as they have that favour, believing, knowing underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh thy people, ever safe and secure. Oh, they must be found in heaven at last. Lord, this is thy will. This shall be fully, completely brought to pass. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Lord, we believe it with all our heart. So, Lord, hear us now, we beg. And for our beloved homeland, England, we pray thou knowest daily, begging for thee to, so in mercy still look upon us. In wrath remember mercy, Lord, we are very much aware of our desert, of thy most solemn judgments being poured upon us. We have so turned our back upon thee, Lord. We have rejected the teaching of thy word, even nationally, Lord, through the ways of our governments, Lord. Succeeding governments have brought in bad laws, and Lord, especially last year. Now in this year, the year of remembrance of the beginning of the First World War, and the time of remembrance of D-Day, Lord, how we should be humble as we remember thy deliverances, thy wonderful favour to us in England, in saving us from the tyranny of wicked enemies. Lord, thou knowest. Oh Lord, we have our liberties. We still have liberty to worship. Oh, still preserve it to us, Lord, and may we use it with all diligence for worship of thy thrice holy name. Lord, give us real worship tonight. We might come into thy house with praise. Oh, we might render praise due to thee. May we, Lord, each of us be wonderfully clearly made aware of our calling for this, that we are separated out by sovereign grace, a people for the praise of God. Oh Lord, may we not neglect to acknowledge this and to be in practice of it, in exercise for the praise of our God, to praise Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Oh, may each of us be aware of this more and more, what thou dost require of us. Lord, we know thou requireth much of thy people, not for their salvation, but thou lookest for fruits that shall be born on the branch, and thy people show in love in return to thee for thy great love to them. So, Lord, help us. Oh, may we not keep coming short May we not keep neglecting, Lord, thy rightful praise, honour and glory. Lord, turn our hearts, set our souls on fire. We may worship our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We beg these things, begging the pardon of our every sin. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 1039. Lord, we adore thy boundless grace, the heights and depths unknown, of pardon, life and joy and peace in thy beloved Son. 1039.
Again, direct you to the Psalm 66. Psalm 66 and the exhortation, O bless our God, ye people, the 8th and 9th verses. Psalm 66. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. And the psalmist goes on, and he is wonderfully led into this exercise of praise. He does bless his God. As he exhorts, as the Spirit had given him, to exhort the church of God, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. He does bless his God in the way of acknowledging before God, Thou broughtest us into the net, Thou laidest affliction upon our loins, Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Tonight, friends, with regard to each one of us, if we are to really, truly bless our God, praise our God, it will be on the grounds of what he has done in us and for us. So, as we bring it before you again, I humbly hope the Lord, by the Spirit, working here tonight, will give you to be exercise to acknowledge what you humbly hope the Lord has done in you and for you. And if there are any of you here who have not got this favour, you feel you have to acknowledge honestly before God, you have not got this favour, may the Lord make you solemnly concerned that you might have that to testify of what the Lord has done for you. For if we go on without the Lord doing anything in us and for us, you know we're going to be cast away at last. That's most solemn, a most solemn statement I've just made, but it is absolutely true. If God never works in us and deals with us, teaches us by his Spirit, we're going to be lost at last. We're going to be cast away at last. You know, the things of real religion are more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And what is it that is to be known and felt? Tis to, and this is most wonderful and vital and most blessed, tis to trust our well-beloved in his blood has washed us clean. Tis to feel the guilt remove it, though we feel it, rise within to be fighting, fleeing, turning, ever sinking yet to swim, to rejoice in Jesus' morning for ourselves and after him. That's a description of real experience, friends, of God's dear people under God's great love and mercy, God's favour to them, that they know by experiencing these wonderful things of God's teaching, of God's dealing with them. And so tonight, oh, that we might truly be favoured, enabled to, and favoured to bless our God, ye people. Have you got that to bless your God for? Oh, is it even that you are able to say, you can say, I'm not where I once were. I'm not in that gross darkness I once was in. God has made me know and feel my need, and he has made me seek him. I know I need him. I know I need to plead for mercy. I know I need the Saviour. I know I need salvation. As the Lord so worked in you to bring you into this very needful exercise for your soul's salvation. Well, the Lord has done much for you, if it is so. But if you are still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger. It's a question, friends. Canst thou face a holy God? at the judgment day, when your life is o'er and after death of judgment, how will you stand then if you are still a total stranger to his precious name and blood? Truly what the hymn writer says is right, solemnly right. Thou art on the brink of danger. Thou art. Death is now upon the road. Oh, think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. Eternal damnation is upon the road if you never know the wonderful saving grace of God. Oh, things we are concerned for in attending the means of grace, in entering in the doors of God's house. There's nothing here that should be trifled about, friends. The gathering around the Word of God is not a trifling thing. It's a serious, solemn, vitally important thing. To know my Jesus. You've all got to be concerned for many things in your daily lives. Oh, there's many important things you're involved in your daily lives. But oh, how we've had to learn this. Over all our years of business and farming, I've had to learn this. You know, one thing is needful. Oh, how important to know my Jesus. Crucified, it by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I can but lost, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Yes, oh, the Lord makes us whole. Everything in a right place when he by his wonderful grace works in his people. He does indeed. And so may we be helped to further consider tonight these words that we were considering this morning. You know, we desire to bless our God. We desire his praise. We are concerned for his glory as we're gathered here. I know the dear friends in the church are, your dear deacons are, and I hope as a servant of God feeling very poor to come among you, but you know my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, every one of you, if it could be God's holy will, and that he may be glorified, he may be praised, that God, a triune God, God Jehovah, the living God, we might praise our God from whom all blessings flow. And so this that is found in the following verses, thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. I said this morning, this is, in the experience of God's people, a very big net. It is, or it encompasses providence and grace. It does. It's all God's providence for you. And oh, if you're a child of God, it's all the things of providence and grace. The will of God, all what is appointed for thee in thy life and experience, the net. The net that encompasses all. Thou broughtest us into the net, so that you're not a dead professor of religion. The Lord is dealing with you, and all the means of he has sovereignly purposed he shall use, he will use, and it will all work together for good. Although there's very many bitter things, very many painful things, but God's will is that the bitter shall be sweet. The medicine shall be food, though it's better, though it's are favoured to know these things of trouble sanctified, then it shall be for good. It shall be for God's glory, your good and God's glory. And so they brought us into the net. And oh, as we will know personally all the things of what we have to painfully know in this net of the Lord's will that the Lord has brought us into. Yes, we come into it really at the new birth. We come into it by regeneration. The Lord brought, brought us into the net. And in the and under the teaching of the Spirit, we're brought to know and do the will of God. But oh, how reluctant. Oh, how shortcoming. Oh, how much we fail. And oh, how much at times we backslide. And all these things are foreknown by God, that God's people shall have to know and experience. They have to be brought off of self-righteousness. They have to be brought off of self-esteem. They have to have their hearts well broken. They have to be dealt with by God. God brings them down. You know, in the further words here, and you know it is so wonderful and good in the favour of what it teaches, where it is acknowledged, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. But oh, has God done it to humble thee, to prove thee? Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. And I believe the child of God, sanctified by grace, will even be thankful for that. That, oh, that has put us down, that has laid us low, that has afflicted us, that has been hard for the flesh to suffer, but, oh, God's sanctifying mercy, causing us to be humbled under it. There has caused men to ride over our heads. Oh, and that we may have had to suffer much loss, suffer much affliction. In this way, according to the will of God, there has caused men to ride over our heads. And oh, too, we went through fire and through water, not by chance. We went through fire and through water. Oh, think of it. Oh, the fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. How needful. But what painfulness comes with fire. Oh, we know and have known it ourselves. One personally having a scalding accident when I was very young, and the pain of that scald and the heat applied to the flesh is, it must bring pain, but think of it spiritually. We went through fire and through water. The painfulness of the affliction of God making us know deeply, solemnly, the affliction of sin. And all the sins of our holy things, the sins of pride and arrogancy and self-importance, they've all got to be burned up. They have. Our self-importance must be, and will be destroyed by grace. We went through fire and through water. Is the Lord doing this in some of you? He's destroying your self-righteousness, ridding you of it, stripping you of it. And it's the fire that's trying the real work of grace in you. And the painfulness of this, the afflictions God has sent for our good, for our correction, for our chastening. Afflictions make us see what else would escape our sight. Yes. Oh, how. But here you see the experience of this being in this net. You know, the net of the will of the Lord. You know, we are given to have to acknowledge what the Lord has done. Thou hast caused men to ride over our head. We went through fire and through water. Oh, water. Though he gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. I think a friend here, he used to be deacon at Lake and Heath. Well, remember one preaching from that at Lake and Heath. Oh, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and to the left. You know, it's so wonderful this, the experience of all these things, so hard for the flesh, but so wonderful according to sovereign grace. The child of God, he saw me wandering, set me right, turned my darkness into light. Yes, he sets his people right. He leads them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Yes, can you say it? Can you acknowledge it? Can you testify it? He saw me wandering, set me right, turned my darkness into light. We went through fire and through water, especially emphasising the painfulness of things, affliction and trouble and trial and loss and cross, all appointed by God. We went through fire and through water, but they broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Now I want tonight especially to preach upon this wealthy place. If we are to enter God's courts with praise, as the word goes on, and come to that, we should say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. You know, we will know something of this. Now it's caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place, the wealthy place of the liberty of the gospel, the wealthy place, what we've been singing of, a pardon, the sacred peace that comes with pardon, the sacred things of those wonderful things of what Christ has done, the wonderful favour of believing in him, Christ's divine atonement put upon us as God's favour is granted by faith, for God's people to know the favour of the application, the precious blood of Christ to their hearts and consciences. Oh, they brought us out into a wealthy place. Wealthy. Really wealthy. Truly wealthy. I'm rich to all the intents of bliss. Be this religion mine. They brought us out into a wealthy place. Now, do you know anything of this? Well, if some of you feel the pull, the drawing power of the love of Christ, you will desire to know it. You will long to know it. You will so much be begging, seeking, chewing, begging for it, pleading for it, to know my Jesus crucified. We have quoted. You want to know him as yours. You want to know and taste his love. You want to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. You do. He is so precious. He is your only hope. Your all is bound up in the Lamb. Yes. This is where you are by grace. They brought us out. Oh, if you are not able to testify it, you desire it. Oh, but there are some. I'm sure of this here, there are some who can testify of these things. They've brought us out into a wealthy place. Wonderful, isn't it, if it is so. And those that need to be brought into it yet, oh, our heart's desire and prayer for them is that each might be so blessed, saved by grace. Blessed and favoured, set a gospel liberty. This is our exercise. You see, really, there is that favour sometimes witnessed. We look for it more and more to see it, but there's so little really preached about gospel liberty. I'm not criticising the ministry. I love all our dear friends of our denomination and the servants of God. We have a very strong bond with many of them. But you know, oh friends, how important, and they would acknowledge it is, that we should preach the liberty of the gospel, that dear precious souls may be giving the Lord no rest till he reveal his love with power. For God has a purpose to set burdened sinners free, friends. He has a purpose to set his dear people at gospel liberty. For it is when they are set at gospel liberty, they will praise God with a full heart. They will testify as those blessed, favoured characters in the Word did. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the cup runs over, when there is that favour to be testified, he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh, how you desire then. Stay me with flagons, compass, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. A full soul, a cup running over. This is what we look for, we desire, we pray for our friends. And I can honestly say, friends, I desire it for every one of you, that you might know these things of God's great favour, of the wonderful favour being brought out into a wealthy place. The favour, the place, the blessing of the pardon of your sins. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. Oh, how is this known? How is a sinner led on to this? Well, I believe the Lord will make sin so exceedingly sinful that you'll have to confess it. You'll have to become a mourner over your sins and after Christ. And oh, as you feel this great guilt and conscience, your conscience made tender in the fear of God, you will want to cease from sin. God will work deep repentance in thy soul. Yes, and as you go to God pleading, you plead. What do you plead? Plead the blood that did for sin atone. I think it was last time we met as a minister's prayer meeting. Our dear friend, the Lord's servant, Mr. Ramsbottom, commenced the prayer meeting with, plead the blood that did for sin atone. How it's repeated in that hymn. Oh, how important it is, vital it is, if you are a poor, guilty sinner, knowing you deserve to be cast away forever out of the presence of God. Oh, but God gives you to be a prayerful character, praying earnestly for your soul's salvation. You will plead the precious blood of Jesus. You plead the name of Jesus. You approach God, your Heavenly Father, though you may not understand a great deal regarding that, but that's the reality of real prayer. We approach God, our Heavenly Father, pleading the precious name of Jesus. And the name the Father loves to hear his children plead. And the way of God accepting sinners, of God the Father accepting his people, their prayers, they gain his ear, and in his great love, so in great love and mercy condescends to bless them. They plead the blood, the precious blood of Christ. And oh, this is what the Father can alone accept. Oh, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, go to God in prayer, pleading the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb, falling before him, Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. Oh, knowing every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Yes, plead the blood that did for sin atone. Yes, and this is the way to liberty. The way to liberty, friends, is found in the Word of God. The Son shall set thee free. The Son shall make thee free. And if the Son therefore shall make thee free, thou shalt be free indeed. Plead, plead for Jesus' sake. Yes, we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. God did it. It's all of grace. It's by grace that you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. But oh, how vital that grace of faith is. Oh, friends, tonight, it may be that your great trouble and your burden and your exercise is you seem to have so little faith. But oh, God can increase your faith. He will grant it in a stronger measure. And as you plead, as you beg, oh, he strengthens your faith in you with hope and love. You can then, as faith is strengthened, lay hold by faith of Christ. Lay hold of him, a precious Christ. Oh, grasp him in your arms, the arms of faith. The antidote of death. Oh, this way God blesses souls, brings them out into a wealthy place. The wealthy place, friends, of testifying of the love and favour, the love and mercy of God. When the tongue is set at liberty, when the child of God set free, liberated, the captives liberated, poor burdened sinners set free, when they rejoice in Christ Jesus, when they know the peace of God which passeth all understanding, then they can truly testify what the Lord's done for my soul. Oh, wonderful time. Some of us look back to it. Oh, we were so blessed, so set at liberty. And what fills our heart now is it is filled with desire for others. Oh, that they might know and taste redeeming love. Oh, this is how I come before you, friends, desiring you, each one of you, that you might know and taste redeeming love. For there is nothing so wonderful, so great, so full, so free of favour and love and mercy of our God, the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. Oh, how wonderful this is. But oh, if you are troubled because you are not finding it so in your exercise as strong as we've set before you tonight, oh, there are things to examine of how you are and consider why you are thus. You know, the Lord requires all the heart. He requires all the heart of his people. He'll keep his people waiting. If they do not, by and under grace, give him all their heart. If there are other lovers, if there are those things you have to admit of your affections, not altogether set on things above, but things that you're holding on to. Oh, what is the priority of your exercise? Oh, is it give me Christ or else I die? You know how it means much, so much. Not just natural death, but how you will be in the swellings of Jordan will be how you will be in eternity forever. How will I do? How wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? Wilt thou go through the river safely and be landed on fair Canaan's shore? Oh, how will it be? And oh, is it the greatest priority of your concern? Give me Christ or else I die. Oh, I believe that it is important to direct poor sinners, if they are having to acknowledge they are not in the favour of liberty. They never seem to be, it seems they never are able to know it, to know and taste the love of God as we may have preached it already tonight. There is a cause, is there not a cause? Oh, examine yourself. Art thou more taken up with other things? Have you got other lovers? Is it that other laws are having dominion over you? Our Lord will have all the heart. All the heart or nothing, our Lord will have. You cannot serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. No, he must be your all in all. If it takes much in the teaching of the Spirit to learn it, we are but learners yet. And when we grieve our Lord, it's through our sinning. And what cost will come. It may be we shall be in darkness and go on in darkness having no light because of our folly. But to know it, to learn of it, to learn in these things, in this net of the teaching of the will of God, that we may truly learn and be sanctified by the favour of the grace of God. To desire and pray to God that he would sanctify us wholly by his Spirit witnessing in the Word of God. We might be found among them that are sanctified. This is what is so important, friends, more important than anything else. It really is. The servants of God, we've had the warning. The Lord suddenly taking a dear beloved friend, the dear pastor, the friends at Staplehurst. It has really shocked us in our beloved denomination. Before, it seemingly was well, and no thought or sign of it, apart from the solemn ministry he heard, went away on holiday. Our dear friend, dear Mr. Bass, and those words, "Behold, I come quickly." How it was so, wasn't it? So solemnly quickly. But what do we know tonight of it? It could be so yet again. The Lord's will shall be done. He will never go or allow anything to happen outside his holy will, and nothing can be delayed. If his holy will is to come and put in the sickle now, reaping souls, his perfect right, taking sinners out of this life, those prepared by God into eternal glory, truly, how we felt it. As my dear one had the words when we heard the news, now she immediately had the words, "The Lord hath need of him." And how we think of it now and meditate on it, and how profound, as our friend mentioned it, at the graveside, "The Lord hath need of him." And if he had need of a soul here tonight, he will take that soul to himself according to his holy will, whether it be me or be you, any one of you. And we must bow to the sovereign will of God, the sovereign ruler, as I quoted it this morning, of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise. All my times are in his hand, all events at his command. But to be prepared, friends, to be prepared for that great day. May we be in earnest prayer ever to be prepared. Prepare my soul for that great day, meaning the great day of assizes, the terrible day of judgment, when the Son of God, who came in his first coming here to suffer, bleed and die, who come the second time to judge the world in righteousness, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right, he will do right according to what he has done in precious souls. As the tree falleth, it shall lie. As we go out of this life, we shall be forever. Will it be forever with the Lord, will it be consigned to eternal perdition in hell. Oh, it's either heaven or hell. There's no in-between. It's either heaven or hell. Oh, are we heading toward eternal damnation or eternal bliss? Oh, it's by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. But oh, to know and be assured how important it is, and for this that we might be in much earnest exercise to know what is stated here, that brought us as heaven into a wealthy place. Oh, the wealthy place of assurance of faith, the wealthy place of deliverance from the bondage of sin, the setting free. Like we read in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, in that second chapter, it's acknowledged what all God's people will humbly have to acknowledge. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. You say, I was brought up to chapel. I've always attended chapel. That doesn't give you salvation. It doesn't, friends. May we be very bold and clear on it. It doesn't. Being brought up to go into chapel doesn't give you salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, I've read the Bible. I've been here every service. That doesn't make you ready for eternity. It doesn't. That alone makes a sinner ready for eternity is when they are blessed to know their interest in the Saviour's blood, their pardon sign, and peace with God. Oh, they need to be brought out into this wealthy place of the wonderful favour of the wonderful love of God, the favour of His grace, the blessing of gospel liberty, the favour of knowing pardon and peace through the blood of the Lamb, the application, the precious blood of Christ, by faith to our hearts and consciences, and what our friend pleaded for in prayer before the service, that we might know the Lord as the Lord our righteousness. Yes, you will have to learn, every one of us will have to learn that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. This is in this net of God's sovereign will, of His dealings with us, to bring us to know, to renounce all our former pride, all our self-righteousness. Oh, the garment of self-righteousness shall be taken away. Take away His filthy garments and give Him a change of raiment. To be dressed in that royal robe wrought out by Christ alone. The robe of righteousness. To stand before God, this wealthy place, to stand before God, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. You'll be able to sing it. There's a hymn that I looked at for years, friends, in my early day of experience. We looked at and read the hymn for years, but dare not give utterance to singing it, because we dare not, would not, fear, we greatly feared to presume. But the time came when the Lord brought us out into a wealthy place, and then we could sing, Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. That's what you need, friends. You need it by the Spirit's seal upon your soul. You need the assurance of it, that the Lord is your righteousness, the Son of God, that He's made to you, the Lord our righteousness. There's no are the hope for sinners, but in all what Christ has done, and now he's made to them to be their Lord, their life, their all, and oh, in the highest sense, yes, it is the highest sense, the Lord our righteousness, the highest blessing a soul can know. I think of the times when the late J.S. Green used to speak to me on it, used to talk to me about it. Oh, that the greatest blessing is justification by faith. I think I'm right in saying I know we had communication of it at the time. And a late dear beloved friend, his dear wife, dear Auntie Frieda, she come to the day when she spoke to her dear one saying, the blessing she was experiencing. She said this morning to her dear John, she said, it's justification, John, I am blessed with today. Justification by faith. Oh, what great favour it is. I desire it for every one of you, that you might know this great favour being brought out into this wealthy place, justified by faith in him, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that his holy righteousness is imputed to you, that you might know the victory over the grave that he wrought it for you, he gained it for you. You might be able to say, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that victory. He rose again for our justification, that we may be fully, completely saved in him, standing before God, our Heavenly Father, complete in Christ. And oh, to know that wonderful seal of sureness, certainty of it, to know and be favoured to believe, you are accepted, made accepted in the Beloved. Wonderful things these are. Oh, they are very high, very blessed. But the Lord, he has, dear friends, his holy, perfect purpose to so bless souls in these ways. Then they can testify of the wonders of his grace. And so they will then say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. The great privilege of it, friends. The great favour of it. The great privilege of being so blessed and so given a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood, so freely shed for me. You can't be humbled any more than that. You can't be melted by that, any more than that. The wonderful melting of the spirit of love divine, which all loves excelleth, joy of heaven to earth come down. Oh, and the Lord dwelling in you. Oh, dwelling in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Paul, right into the Colossians, brings it out there. Christ in you. The hope of glory, so you live. You go on the rest of your days, living upon the Saviour's merits, living by faith in him. Oh, so established, so blessed. May the Lord bring it in many a heart. May he bless many with it. May those that do know these things enter into his courts for praise and come and before the friends who are waiting to hear. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Oh, will ever remember, and if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This word regard needs to be carefully understood. You know, oh, that we might be concerned. We might not turn again to folly. We might not grieve our God again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. you go into darkness and into desertion, solemn, sad desertion. Some of us know it, solemnly know it. But oh, to know the liberty, the joy of our God, the joy and peace in believing. May this be wonderfully known. The Lord had his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £615, for which we are very thankful. And Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Pack next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 372. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. 372.
dear Lord, do help us to bring our thank offerings. Oh, never, never for Mary, but in such love, in return that thou dost so kindle in us, help us to live to thy praise. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.